Vasily Grossman began Life and Fate, a powerful anti-totalitarian novel, when Stalin was still alive. Back then, he had no prospect of publication. But after the dictator's death, when the regime admitted half-truths about Stalin's crimes, there was a glimmer of hope. Despite knowing that the repressive state had not changed in essence, that Stalinists remained in control, Grossman made the daring decision to publish his testimony on the Soviet century and on Stalinism. This was the first major attempt to resurrect the historical truth along with the names of people the regime had erased from life and from the record. In Life and Fate, Grossman put Stalinism on trial. He juxtaposed Soviet crimes against humanity with those committed by the Nazis. In 1960, 2 years before the world heard Solzhenitsyn's account of the Gulag, Grossman completed his exposé of the two dictatorships and the practices of slavery they established. The decision to attempt publication in the USSR was an act of desperate bravery and defiance. Grossman's novel opens with an image of camp cities in 20th century Europe, a world of straight lines and identical barracks where individuality is erased. Tens of thousands share the same fate. Whether they live and die in a Nazi camp or in the frozen wastelands of Russia's Far East, people are treated as the living dead. Having likened the Gulag to the Holocaust, Grossman told the story of his entire generation, which had experienced twin dictatorships and World War II. He wanted post-Stalinist Russia to deal with its past in the manner of post-Nazi Germany. Grossman was prepared to fight for the right cause, but an editor reported him to the KGB. The secret police did not arrest the author, they arrested his novel, a greater punishment. In February 1961, the KGB raided Grossman's apartment and the editorial offices where he had submitted Life and Fate, and seized all typescripts and drafts. The writer was told that his book was more dangerous to the Soviet state than Pasternak's Dr. Zhivago, and if it will be possible to ever publish it, then perhaps not for about 250 years. The main Soviet ideologist, Mikhail Suslov, compared the explosive power of Grossman's work to a nuclear bomb, thus admitting that its historical facts endangered a regime founded on fabrications. In his appeal to the Soviet government, Grossman wrote, "There is no logic, no truth in the present condition, in my physical freedom when the book to which I have given my life is in prison. For I wrote it, I have not renounced it, and I do not renounce it. I ask for my book's freedom." The regime suppressed the truth and Grossman's novel for as long as possible. The Soviet state, with its heavy multi-trillion-ton mass, as Grossman describes it, prevailed in destroying him physically. The writer died of cancer in 1964, 3 years after his novel's confiscation, unaware whether Life and Fate would ever see light. The novel was believed to have been lost or burned. But in 1980, Life and Fate suddenly emerged in the West. Preserved by Grossman's friends and smuggled abroad in microfilm, it was brought out in Lausanne, published across Europe, where it became a bestseller, in America, and in 1988, under Mikhail Gorbachev, it was finally released in the USSR. Grossman never learned his readers' judgment. The confiscation of Life and Fate made him a banned writer. For almost three decades, his name was not mentioned in the Soviet press. Long before that, however, he had been a prominent Soviet author. During World War II, he reported on major battles from Moscow and Stalingrad to Berlin. His articles and fiction alike were read widely. By the late 1940s, his books had sold over 8 million copies in the USSR and were published abroad. In the West, he is still remembered as a Soviet war correspondent, the author of a famous 1944 article, The Hell of Treblinka. One of the first accounts of the Holocaust, The Hell of Treblinka was used as evidence in Nuremberg. It still surprises the reader with its clarity of analysis, insight into unprecedented genocide, and emotional power. In this article, anticipating the Nuremberg trials, Grossman presented the evidence before the eyes of humanity, before the conscience of the whole world. His perceived audience has always been the whole of humankind. But humanity was not an abstract idea for Grossman. He had a unique ability to describe the experiences of millions in a personal way.